Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder of Thirst Project, Seth Maxwell.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Maya Fine. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Okay, I have been holding in this monologue for a week. It must have been on Tuesday. I was headed to a positive event, and already you can tell from the tone of my voice, I'm like, I gotta get this out. So I was headed to a semi-positive event, and I was in traffic, so I figured I have some time in traffic. Let me call a friend I haven't spoken to in a long time. And so I called this friend, and this friend starts this conversation. All I said was, hey, how is it going? I think that's as much as I said. Oh, Filippo, let me tell you, you know, I was at this job, and then the rest of the conversation was negative. It was angry. It was depressing, and life sucks. Can I say that? Anyway,
you've said it before.
Okay. Well, I know, but I'm trying to. Anyway, so that was the whole conversation. And traffic, it was about 45 minutes in. And then I said, hey, by the way, I'm arriving at an event. I've got about 15 more minutes, just so you know. Oh, okay. And still, he continued. And this guy I was working with, and these people, and this job, and the, you know, I can't get a break, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, I've arrived, I've got to go. Hey, dude, call me later, because I have this job opportunity, and I think you could help me with it. And I said, wait a minute. You actually have positive news? Yeah, as a life coach, your friend is a life coach, hello. You actually have something I could help you with, and you chose to use an hour of your time and your time with me and my time with you to do nothing but dump negative stuff. And I said, you know, I almost said his name. I hope he's listening. I said, you know, we don't know how much time we have. Not on the phone with a friend, and not in life. And I said, so we don't have later. We had now. And this is what you chose to do with your now. And it's not what I choose to do anymore. You know, and I thought about not sharing that story, because what does that have to do with today's story? Well, it actually has a lot to do with today's story, because when we hear Seth Maxwell's story, this is a guy who didn't just sit around and say, okay, I said it earlier, so I'm going to say it again. Life sucks, so, you know, let's just complain about it. Here's a guy who said, we don't know how much time we have. I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but something to this effect. Let's do something about this now, not later, not in an hour, now. And so I can't wait to bring him into the conversation. I'm so glad I got that off my chest. I feel so good. No, but I thought it was such a poignant point. So we'll be back with our guest, Seth Maxwell. And later on, I can't wait to have Maya Fines on and her beautiful music. This is an exciting show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network.
You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lejeune. Hey, come on, it wasn't that bad.
I better just start out with something fun, positive, and happy after that.
It wasn't a rant. I mean, it's the truth.
It is
and
the
it serves.
Truth. It is the truth. And it does tie to Seth and the topic today, which is so important. But it also reminded me, which is kind of another topic around this whole thing, about that I think there was a documentary called Away a while back, and it had to do with waste and throwing something away, and that there really is no away. Mm. And it's the same kind of thing with time, right? Which is what you're saying, you know, in terms of being mindful of what we're doing, what we're bringing to someone, and what we're doing with our time and our stuff and our energy, most importantly.
And our energy, because I think actually, Mark, I was meeting you at an event, so I walk in with a certain energy of having had an hour full of, you know, all that stuff, and you know, who knows what that does. Thankfully, I'm really good, and I can just go, and just.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And on that note.
And on that note. So our guest is CEO and founder of The Thirst Project. There's a lot we could say about this, but let's just say that we thankfully got to meet him through
Steve Wiseman. Thank you, Steve.
Shout out to you. Thank you. And
the Difference Maker series,
exactly.
Berkeley Hall.
Exactly. So when we got to host him at Weiss School in conjunction with
the
Berkeley
Hall
students.
Yeah, it was the first collaboration between Berkeley Hall and Weiss for the Difference Maker series. And Seth was amazing with the kids, and we had it was a great opportunity.
Very cool. So
yeah, Steve put that together.
And now it's cool that you're here with us. So welcome, Seth Maxwell, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You had this look on your face, like, you know, when I said the story ties in. So tell us about you. Like, how does it work for you?
My life sucks. It's awful. The world sucks. No. How does it tie in with me?
Yeah, because what you found out. Okay, so you and a group of friends were together, and you found out, hey, you know, not everybody has drinking water.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, today, 663 million people in the world don't have access to safe, clean drinking water. And it's not just a big number. What it practically means is that in developing communities all over the world, some people think, oh, just Africa, or some people think it's Asia, but it's Southeast Asia. It is, you know, all across Africa. It's South and Central America. People, predominantly women and children, will walk for miles from their homesteads or villages to fetch water out of whatever standing water sources are available. So it's often rivers, swamps, mud puddles, streams, open, unprotected sources that are shared with animals that will both drink and defecate in the same water source as people. And as a result of using these water sources, people contract really easily preventable waterborne diseases. Mm. So things like diarrhea or dysentery, those two things alone actually kill more kids under the age of 5 than AIDS, malaria, and all world violence combined, including war. And so I know that sounds like a lot of negative stuff, but, you know, what's amazing is we build freshwater wells and other water projects. We call them WASH programs. It's pretty standard in the space. It stands for water and sanitation and hygiene in communities around the world to give people clean water, which isn't terribly unique. But what is that we are without question the world's largest youth water organization. So we have a school program here in the U.S. that travels across the country, speaking at middle schools, high schools, colleges, universities to educate students about this issue. And then we challenge those students to take action in their local communities, fundraise, and raise awareness to build water projects. And then 100% of all the money those students raise is used exclusively to fund projects on the ground. So all of our operations are funded by a private group of donors.
You know, we mentioned Berkeley Hall School and Weiss School. And what was cool about when we got to connect with you was you came to speak to the students, and by that point, the students had already heard about this and already thought, let's do something about it. And here you were, your normal thing is like to talk so that you could encourage people to give money, and instead they gave you several checks for the amount of an actual well, right, in Swaziland.
Yeah, your students are amazing.
Well, yeah, not
they
mine,
raised
but yes,
over $12,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was thanks to Steve as well.
I was going to say, Steve's ignited that, and a lot of the students contributed from both schools. It was a great effort.
Absolutely.
So let's do go back, because, okay, so you're young, and I know you act and you sing, and, you know, you're talented in other ways. And so you came to Hollywood, let me guess.
Yes. Super unoriginal.
You wanted to be a dentist.
Right.
I'll be a dentist. Yeah. I wanted to be an actor. So I grew up acting. I'm from the Midwest, grew up in Indianapolis. My family moved a lot when I was a kid. I moved to Chicago for a little bit, moved back to Indianapolis, where I grew up most of my life. And I started acting when I was 7 in both local community theater and then professional theater. Started getting paid. It was sort of a novel concept, but bounced back and forth between community and professional theater. Did show choir in high school. When I was 14, I went with this European tour of a group called Fame across like London, Salisbury, Bath, Portsmouth, Normandy, Paris. It was amazing. Came back, did some like terrible local commercials. And when I graduated high school, decided like everybody else out here to move to LA, get my degree in theater, and continue pursuing acting.
And then one day,
I had a friend who was a photojournalist for National Geographic, which is like basically every photojournalist's dream. And she got this amazing assignment to go live for 6 week blocks at a time in different communities over the course of what took about a year and a half. But she'd live for 6 weeks in a village and then go to another village for 6 weeks and another village. So she wasn't just flying in and out, but her job was to document and report on the progress on the UN's Millennial Development Goals. And so she came back. And she'd been gone for a year and a half. We got together to catch up over coffee. I sat across from her kind of just stunned as I watched, looking at her laptop at picture after picture after picture of 3 and 4 and 5 year olds on the side of the road, drinking water out of rivers, swamps, mud puddles, where literally in the foreground of the frame, there's this kid, in the background, there are cattle defecating. And it wasn't, what I call poverty porn. Like, it wasn't like, oh, look at this sad kid. But it was, no, this is Sophie. She's 7. We hung out for 6 weeks. We played Barbies. She loves Spider-Man. I watched her die of cholera. My whole worldview was just like shattered, just destroyed. At that point, I was without question, I was 19. I was living in LA without question, the most selfish, introspectively focused human being on the planet. Like, I didn't care about anything unless it had to do with me or acting or entertainment. And I went home and started Googling and learned at that point, 1.1 billion people didn't have safe water 7 years ago. And, was just staggered. Like, how I was like, I'm a relatively educated person living in the United States. Like, how had I never heard of this? And so I went to class the next day, or the next Monday, and was like, guys, you have no idea what's going on in the world. We got to do something.
Wow,
here we are. Wow.
And that's my point. You went straight to action. You bought bottles of water. I love this. Because it's like people are thinking, oh, here's a free bottle of water. And then what'd you do?
Well, so the people at home don't know.
I don't mean to laugh. I mean, I love this story. So, okay, yeah, just a couple of minutes before we go to commercial. Let's fill us in.
I just took a drink of a bottle of water. No, which, by the way, I don't normally drink from one-use bottle of water. Sorry, guys. So at the time, we just thought, we're going to raise awareness. We're going to go just tell. We didn't have a plan. We weren't even a club. We weren't an organization. But I got 7 college friends together. We pitched in all the money we had between the 7 of us, which at that time was a little more than $70. We went to our nearest Ralph's, bought as many bottles of water as we could. I literally like convinced the manager, there wasn't like a sale going on, but I was like, dude, like, here's what we're going to do. Can you give us a deal? He like way discounted it. So we bought almost 1,000 bottles of water, loaded my friend's pickup truck up. Shout out to Will, who is from North Carolina and had a pickup truck in LA. Took us out to Hollywood Boulevard and definitely got a ticket, by the way, because we didn't have a permit to do what we were doing. But we just like loaded all these bottles of water up onto Hollywood Boulevard and started giving away free water to get people to talk to us. And then, there's a lot of weird people on Hollywood Boulevard. So people would go, why are you doing this? Like, what's this about? And it gave us the chance to say, did you know that over at that point, 1 billion people didn't have safe water? Did you know this is happening? And almost everybody gave back for the water they took. So we were able to turn $70 into $1,700, which we gave to another organization at the time that was building water projects. And we thought we were done. Like, we felt really good. We'd raised some money, some awareness. I was like, cool, I can go back to living my very selfish life. But there were 2 people that met us that day that said, hey, would you come to our school and basically tell our friends what you told us? We want to see if we can do something similar. So we said, sure, went and spoke. kind of forgot about it until about a month later, those two schools had done fundraisers and then checks showed up in the mail for $12,000. Wow. And that was the moment we realized there was tremendous untapped potential in students and young people around this issue. So we created the Thirst Project.
And the Thirst Project is here. It is huge. And are you cheering?
No, she's cheering me.
Oh, well, yeah, really... yeah, they're all cheering. Okay.
Like I'm saying hi.
Yeah, oh, cool. All right, well, cheers are happening. And the crowd says, all right, so when we come back, we're going to learn more about Thirst Project. We're going to learn about what they've done. And then we're also going to learn how we could support the Thirst Project and these, a great population in the world that it does not have clean drinking water. All this on the Life Changes show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's the little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Volta, just sitting here with Mark Leger and our guest, Seth Maxwell, founder and CEO of The Thirst Project. What a story. Let me just ask you on a personal basis, what do you think? Like, okay, so 7 years ago, this wasn't even a dream. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now you're running around the country and parts of the world, running this huge organization with a lot of employees and supporting a lot of people. What do you think?
I think a lot of things. I'm terrified and excited and super grateful. I never take it for granted, seriously, when anybody, whether it's a student or whether it's an adult, gives of their time or their money. Because really, by all accounts, I say this all the time, like, I have no business doing what I'm doing. Like, I have a degree in theater. I didn't study nonprofit management. I didn't study business. I'm super grateful that I have an amazing group of people around me, both in our staff and on our board, starting with the board, who really are the ones who are, I mean, ballers. Like, we're talking about the president of the studio at Relativity Media, or, the Polly Perrette, who plays Abby on NCIS, like the highest paid actress on TV. Like, crazy. And then also people in finance and business who have really rallied around and taught me how to lead an organization, taught me how to do what we do. And the same thing is true on our water side. You know, we've got an amazing group of technicians who are PhDs in hydrology, or civil engineers who are the ones who architected how we build projects in the field. And then our staff are amazing. And so really, it's a huge testament to them. And I've said over and over again, the only thing that I have ever done well is I can tell a really good story. And I knew all of the many, many things I was not good at the beginning, and found people who are great at those things and told them the story and convinced them to give of their time to come around us and make it happen. And so I'm just super, I mean, the overall feeling really is just grateful. Like, Thirst Project has given me immensely more than I feel like I could ever give to it.
And repeat again, you were saying that the money that's raised, you're saying 100% of it goes.
So when a student gives or a school gives or a person listening today give, public donors, any public donation, 100% is used exclusively to fund projects on the ground. So we have two completely different bank accounts at two completely different banks. And our board leads the charge to fund our operations. So they give about $50,000 each per year to fund all the stuff that nobody wants to pay for, like office space, travel, salaries, post-its, so that we can tell students and public givers that because of that amazing group, 100% of their, you know, the public's money
goes. That's really important because so many cause-related companies, you know, or organizations, right, the money either isn't transparent or the money doesn't go where it needs to go. Or so I think that's really important.
You guys I mean, it's the board only is able to make up probably about 20-25% of our overall needs. So we have a number of corporate partners that we work with who fund programs and that kind of stuff as well. But yeah, it's it's...
You know, that's great, actually. Why don't we give the website? It's thirstproject.org.
Yep.
Thirstproject.org. We'll give it later on as well. But since you mentioned people that can give money, that's where they can give money, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a little donate button right at the top right of the homepage.
And I'm glad you explained that because I was wondering, how does it work that 100% of the money goes, you know, it's like, how do they travel and all that stuff? So that's that's interesting. I didn't know of any organization that does that or how do they do that if they did. So thank you for that.
Yeah, we're definitely not the only ones who run on the 100% model, but it's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. So what has happened in this 7 years?
Oh, man. So, I mean, this year, for example, school tour will have visited well over about 300 campuses speaking to students. So talking about audiences, that's an assembly where there are, about 100,000 students, butts in seats, learning about the water crisis. Outside of that tour, there are additional...
300 campuses?
Yeah.
So it's not just you going, because you're going to a bunch of other stuff, too.
I actually speak very infrequently. We have an army of speakers led by what we call our road warriors. So it's this amazing internship. College students typically are people just out of high school apply for. They'll come to L.A. They live for a semester on the road for about 3.5 months. We train them on how to give an assembly. It's like a rigorous, I'm a little perfectionist about showmanship. So we train them how to speak. We send them on the road, and then they are the ones literally hitting a campus a day. We send them out, on these wrapped vehicles, and they'll go. They're teams of two road warriors each, and they'll go out and they'll speak at a school a day. And then we have a few other speakers who are contract speakers who'll do it as well. But I actually speak far less frequently than I did at the beginning. When it was the beginning, it was just me, and I haven't really done most of our school speaking for about 3.5-4 years.
So this is something that a school can contact you and say, "We want somebody to come speak on
Absolutely.
The project."
Okay. Yeah, so you would just email either evan@thirstproject.org or, that's the best way to do it, evan@thirstproject.org. Evan is amazing. He runs our school programs.
Okay, so you were saying, so in the past 7 years and this year alone, 300 schools have been visited.
Yeah, and then there are another couple, maybe like 100,000 students outside of those schools that we'll visit who we won't go to, but who we've either spoken at their schools before or they'll hear about us and they'll just naturally start a fundraiser. Like we hadn't spoken yet at Wise or Berkeley Hall before they started their fundraiser, I don't think. But those students have raised a little over $8 million, 100% of which has been used to fund projects in 13 countries, giving over 300,000 people safe, clean water for the rest of their lives.
Wow. Actually, I'm glad you said that because there was a question. So if a well breaks down, then what happens?
Oh, man, I don't know how much time I have, but basically, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. So it's not a question of if. It's really a question of when a hand pump needs repair or when a sanitary seal needs fixing or a gravel pack needs changed or fencing needs repair. These are physical objects. Like, we understand you have to change the oil on your car every 2,000 miles. It's normal wear and tear. If you've got 500 people in a village using the same water point every day, 365 days a year, for 2 years, 4 years, eventually, you're going to need to replace a hand pump. You're going to need to fix a sanitary seal. So our goal is to have these communities be independent of us. We don't want to necessarily police the world forever. So we do have full-time staff on the ground they can contact. However, the community at the very beginning, before the well is ever built, forms a water committee made of 5 men, 5 women, which immediately engenders a higher sense of social status for women in the community. They regulate water use to make sure everyone has equal usage, but they're also required to be trained by the drillers on maintenance and repair. Wow. So they know how to fix those things. All the parts are sourced locally, and the community has to set up an operations and maintenance fund, which is a bank account that gets opened in the community's name. We don't have access to it, and they contribute a predetermined amount per month to it. So it might be 10 cents per household per month or 5 cents per household per month. But if there's 100 or 200 households in the community, and 5 years in, a hand pump needs repaired, they can go to the local supplier, get a quote for it, and say, oh, this is $600. And then if they're short, say $100, they can contact our staffer on the ground and say, hey, we know how to do this. We're not asking you to do it. Here's our bank account. Here is the quote. We've held up our end of the bargain. We need you to supplement this, and we'd grant them the $100, and they'll replace it themselves and repair it. But wow. It's really a question of like if that's going to – not a question when. Of if, it's a question of when it's going to happen.
Wow.
What a process.
Well, yeah, it's very pretty comprehensive.
That was the short version.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so the kids and people are normally walking, like, how many miles was it? And not just to mention the fact that once they get there, the water is not clean. And then you shorten it to what?
So it's about 3.5 miles is the average that someone in the developing world walks one way to fetch water. So if you're a kid, and typically people use what are called jerry cans to fetch water, which are basically the diesel version of our gas can. A jerry can can hold 5 gallons of water. So if you walk with 2 jerry cans, 3.5 miles, fill it up and walk
back. That's heavy.
That's 88 pounds total of water hauled over a 3 or 4 mile distance by an 8-year-old, a 12-year-old, which is thousands of hours annually that mean kids aren't able to go to school or get an education because of the thousands of hours wasted just hauling water.
Wait, so why are they sending the kids? Because are the parents working or something?
Yeah,
or?
Mom will typically be taking care of the household. Dad will be out earning a living. And so it's often kids. Or sometimes it will be women, which the implication of that is that women either aren't able to get done what they'd like to do at the home or aren't able to get a job or contribute financially to the household as well.
Okay.
Not to mention you want to consume most of that water just after that hike.
Well, and it's not clean. I mean, we're talking about 88% of, this is the craziest thing, 88% of all global disease is directly attributed to lack of access to safe water. So if we as a global community provided those without safe water 100% coverage to the world with safe water, we would cut all global disease by 88% overnight. Child mortality rates by upwards of 90% overnight. It's staggering.
Wow.
And this is a solvable issue. It's not like we're like hoping we find the cure for it. In the last 7 years since we started, the number of people without safe water has gone from 1.1 billion to 663 million people. Everyone listening to this, I mean, I hope the most of us, will see the end of this in our lifetime. It's just a question of like, what will you do about it and how quickly will we be the ones to push the water crisis into the history books?
Right. I was going to ask you, what's the end game like? How much time are we talking about?
I mean, realistically, for funding, probably like another 20 years, implementing probably another 25, 30 years. But I mean, that's in the span of human history, that's nothing.
Mm. And in the meantime, it's 25 years for some of these people.
Well, if you're going to be negative about it, then sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Life Mr. coach.
Happy.
Wow. You're a funny guy. Funny guy. Okay, but so you were cutting it down from 3.5, 3-4 miles to one way.
We make sure that when we build a project in the community, ideally we'd like to put it in as central a place as possible in that village, but it's not always the best place to drill, like in the middle. We have to look at the water tables and the aquifers that are there to make sure we're tapping into a formation that's adequate to meet the needs of those people. So regardless, when we build a water point, it's always this is going to sound really far because it is, but it's no more than 1 kilometer of a walk for anyone in that community, which is still, while far, dramatically less than 3.5 miles.
Yeah. And it's clean once they
absolutely
get there.
100%.
Yeah. And the aquifer, I'm just really curious because I think this is like amazing and wonderful and sad that, you know, that we have corporations that could change this overnight. We have governments that could change this overnight. And here's this kid who wanted to be an actor saying, I guess we need to do
it on
something.
Our own.
And it takes him starting a village to help a village.
Takes a village.
What I was going to ask you is, so the whatever's underneath the ground, there's always enough water? I mean, does it rain enough to get absorbed and all that stuff? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, hydrology and groundwater, it's a pretty specialized technical fields. And I've only learned in the last 7 years, I mean, quite a lot about them. When I started, I knew nothing. But and I'm by no means a groundwater expert. But no, you can't just go pop a hole in the ground anywhere and say, oh, there's a limitless supply of water here. So we'll always do hydrology and groundwater surveys before we build a project in a location to make sure we know. They're basically like, imagine like an x-ray of the ground, right? So we can see, oh, this formation here is likely to have more than enough water to meet the needs of these people and recharge during rainy times so that there's never an issue. But let's say that you're drilling and you hit water at 70 feet. We always drill an additional probably, say, 20 meters or so to ensure that when the water tables drop during dry seasons, when it's not raining as frequently and not recharging naturally, that well isn't rendered inoperable. Now, again, the same thing's true, though, not only the depth and the type of formation you drill into, but you also have to make sure you're not building points that are overused by people. So, you know, typically a well is meant to serve between as few as 200-300 people to, I mean, the very high end, maybe 500 people, right? So you can't have 1,000 people queuing up every day using the same water point, not like nonstop, and expect it to just limitlessly, you know, with no rain, supply that community or those number of people. We have to tap into other water points and distribute, you know, the need across that space.
Well, I am impressed.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing as much as you have. And so I mean,
super boring stuff. Sorry.
Not at all. That's just the thing. It's just like Mark was saying, it's like we give money sometimes and where does it go? And we, and the person that does the talking doesn't even know himself or herself. And it's like, this is just, trust me, I've actually dealt with a lot of organizations that have left me feeling, that's not what I want to support. So, but when we met you, it was like, wow, we want to continue this conversation. So we're glad you're here and thank you for sharing. And when we come back, we'll learn more of what people can do to support the effort here. And of course you could start by going to thirstproject.org. In just a few minutes, we'll have, Maya Fiennes joining us here on the Life Changes Show. This is, quite exciting. Hang with us. We'll be right back right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. This is Filippo. I'm sitting here with Mark Leisure and our guest, Seth Maxwell, of The Thirst Project. So many things are going through my mind.
Words.
And I'm thinking, yeah, use your words.
Words.
Now, I'm thinking that there were kids that did dance-a-thons. And did all kinds of crazy, silly, fun things to raise money in order to help other kids. And I think you also supply a way for people to see the well or to see the communities. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So anytime anyone fully funds a project, if it's a school, if it's an individual, it's a business, a church, we commit to that person that we're not just going to say, hey, thanks for your 12 grand, see you next year. But we'll say, here's a list of, you know, typically 20 to 40 communities or villages right now that are waiting on support. Sometimes we'll select for them because it's like, hey, we know this community needs it most. But usually we'll say, hey, you can pick as the donor if there's one that you feel, you know, more inclined to. It's just a basic breakdown of need. So it'll list, you know, the name of the community, the GPS coordinates, the population, the distance people are walking to get water, waterborne disease rates and the kinds that are there. And then once that's done and we mobilize the community, we drill, we build, et cetera, the whole process, it's not fast and we're kind of unapologetic about it. It's not, you know, instant gratification. We try to make the experience as positive for the donor, but we are still a pretty lean organization and it does take time to do this. So we do commit, though, that at the end of that process, typically about 12 to 15 months later, the donor will not just get a report saying, hey, this is done, but we create these really beautiful personalized thank you videos. That are like stunning, and it shows both the old contaminated water source that individual community used to be forced to rely on the actual water project that that donor funded, and then the community sort of surrounds it and verbally thanks the donor by name. So it'd be like, you know, thank you, Filippo. Wow. And so it's really cool and sort of closes that circle and, you know, not proves, but it, yeah, it's like proof. Oh, here's the, not just proof, but a beautiful piece that you can keep forever.
Honors the effort. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you keep saying 12,000 and I know why. Could you share why?
Yeah, so we're most active in a country called Swaziland. It's a little tiny country right above South Africa. It has the single highest, density HIV AIDS rate of any country in the world. And that's relevant because in rural communities, even if people have access to medical treatment or AIDS clinics or antiretrovirals, but still drink from contaminated water sources, people's immune systems are already so compromised that the diseases they will then contract in the water they drink will often kill them faster than their HIV or AIDS will. And so the ability to positively impact two issues at once is really what led us there. We're active in seven countries right now, but the bulk of our effort by far is focused in Swaziland. And so to build one project in Swaziland costs about $12,000.
Wow. Okay.
But when you break it down in like bite-sized chunks for everybody listening, the crazy thing is that $25, not like $25 a month, not $25 a year, one time is enough to give one person clean water for life, which is staggering.
Wow.
Like, I don't know anybody who can't do that right now.
Wow. And they can do that at thirstproject.org.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
Yes, you can.
And so actually, just to throw out some ideas, because I mentioned the dance-a-thon, but what are some of the craziest, funniest, fun things?
Oh, man. Last year, there was this girl who was amazing. I'm so sorry if you're listening. I can't remember her name. But she I never met her, but she decided she'd always wanted to swim around the Statue of Liberty. And so she set up a fundraising page on our website and sent the link out to all our family and friends, sort of like as if you were running a marathon, and got people to sponsor her to do it. And then she went to New York and swam around the Statue of Liberty for water. We have seen people, we've seen people do stuff that we don't recommend. Like, I'm going on a hunger strike and I'm not going to eat until I reach this fundraising goal. Until I reach this fundraising goal, which is amazing. And we love the dedication, but not necessarily recommended. We've seen people give up their birthdays and say, I don't want money or I don't want gifts.
Yes, I've heard this.
You know, I want you to give my age in dollars. Or, you know, I want to run a marathon. We've seen students do video game tournaments at schools for water, which is amazing. I was not a gamer growing up, so I'm like the worst at video games, but I have mad respect for it. Cause like I know people might think that sounds crazy, but the two joysticks now, like the two things together, my thumb is like, my brain doesn't work with it. But we see them like set it up like the NCAA bracket. You pay a certain amount to enter. There's elimination rounds. There'll be groupings of TVs and people will play and they'll eliminate until they get to a certain point. And then all the money goes to build water projects. It's like the students are, first of all, I never say kids. I hear you say kids, but like we never call students kids. Like students are amazing people, and students are some of the most. Sorry, not to throw you under the bus. Students are the most like innovative.
What did I say?
No, you just call them kids, but it's okay.
Oh, did I?
It's okay.
I'm a little older than you are, but that's I'll still call them students then.
It's just, you know, a little more dignified. The students are some of the most innovative, creative, generous people, and I believe with all of me, it's not just like something that sounds good because we're a youth organization. Students are the most powerful agents for social change in the world. And part of that is because they don't have the responsibilities or the weight of like a mortgage and a family. Part of it is because they don't know. They're too inexperienced to know how hard things are going to be when they set out to try it. Part of it's because they're just beautiful, untainted, you know, unbroken people who there's no disconnect. You show a student, someone is hurting, immediately I have to do something to help them.
And could it be that this generation in particular
absolutely
is interested in
100%.
And also they have internet exposure. And
let me tell you why. Hold on. This is going to be a little
You were telling me why. But
No. I'm going to really tell you why.
Okay.
This generation, and when I say that, and it's not just like the millennials, although it did start with the millennials, and now it's on to Gen Z. These generations are without question the most socially conscious generations the world's ever seen for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're the first generation, starting with millennials, where such emphasis was placed from day one on the expectation that every single person go to college. That had never happened before. And so you have a highly educated generation who, number two, are the most under or unemployed generation the world has ever seen. So they have a highly educated generation who have a lot of free time on their hands to care about or be aware of things they never were aware of, who, number three, are the most globally connected generation the world has ever seen before. They grew up playing video games with friends on the other side of the world in India, learning about things that were happening in other countries that was never before known possible. And number four, a generation ago, Sesame Street changed all of their education programming from ABCs and 1-2-3s to teaching empathy and sharing and caring. So we literally have hardwired this generation to look at the world around them and try to change it. I mean, I'd love to say they're just naturally more compassionate, but and to some extent maybe they are. But we have built this. We have hardwired this into them.
Wow.
I didn't know that. I knew it, but I didn't make the connection on the Sesame Street thing.
So yeah, some of that is
media is so powerful.
Yeah. Well, but thank you for that.
You're welcome for that.
And thank you for all of this and for all that you are doing. ThirstProject.org. You make it really easy for people to donate and to put together events and all of that.
$25 right now, all of you listening right now. Wait, well, stop. Do it or $12,000.
And
you know.
Real quickly, you have an event coming up.
Yes, our annual gala. It's coming up if you live in Los Angeles, Monday, June 13th. It's a great night. It's our biggest night of the year. It's held at the Beverly Hilton on the same stage as the Golden Globes. Jennifer Garner's hosted, Polly Perrette's hosted. It's an amazing night. We honor all the people who make the work that we do possible, from the celebrity supporters to the student with the Power of Youth Award. And so it's a great night.
And they can learn about it at thirstproject.org.
Yeah, thirstproject.org/gala.
Okay. Seth Maxwell, you're amazing.
You're amazing.
Thank you very much. All right. When we come back on the Life Changes Show, Maya Fines will be performing live for us right here at Studio NoHo, all after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back, and we're being joined in the studio with Maya Fines, who's going to be performing with us. She is a classical pianist. She is a singer. Actually, she's a lot more than that. She's a yoga instructor, or maybe, what do you call it, yogini?
Yogini.
Yogini, okay. So first of all, let's start with you. Let's welcome Maya Fines to the show.
Hello, thank you.
How great to have you. You know, learn me something, if you would.
Learn me.
Where is Macedonia?
Wow, yeah, that's it. It's southern Europe. It's right next to Greece, and it's a Mediterranean country, and it was part of Yugoslavia, but then the war happened, and now we are no longer part of anybody, so we are solo.
Okay. All right. Well,
next to Greece, I think, is the easiest to say.
Okay. And do they all dress like that in Macedonia?
It's a pity they cannot see me, right?
Well, but no, we're going to be taking pictures and they'll be able to see it on our...
Okay. What I'm wearing now, for everybody out there who are listening, it's a black, shiny, tight catsuit. Okay. That has a lot of significance about it, because usually I do yoga in white. I'm always in white. So all my DVDs, I look very angelic and very... you know, light, and it's all about light. But now lately, if there is a shift that's happening within me, and I'm embracing the shadow part of me.
Wow.
And there is actually that union that we talk about in yoga all the time, the black and white, the dark and light. It's all one. So finally, I'm embracing those opposites. even though I've been teaching it for many years.
And you took it all the way.
Yes, and she decided to
and then, so, but
do
this,
it on our show.
But exactly.
Embrace your dark side on our show. Thank you for that.
As you're talking about negativity
so
earlier.
So the monologue really worked for you, huh?
Well, the suit represents that how uncomfortable we are in our bodies. So it's tight, it's not stretching, and you're like, oh my God, I can't do this, right? But no, what I'm showing yoga and singing and everything. And actually, if I stretch my mind, I can stretch in this suit much more comfortably and I can accept my body.
Wow.
So that's the significance here.
Wow.
And then it's in the, you know, I'm building a new website, so they want to see me in white, they want to see me in black. So it's like a big message.
Wow. Well, you know, if you're supposed to look uncomfortable in that, it's not working because you look great.
Thank you.
Look great. It's very sexy, actually. So today's special, not only because you're wearing black and you're embracing your dark side, but you're also going to be premiering a song. I don't know if that's first or second, but
the first one.
It is. You're
it's called
be premiering...
Love Now. Okay. Wow. Everything you've been talking about today is just amazing. I love, or I actually want to do a concert for water and raising money.
There you
Honestly,
go.
Honestly, that's it. I absolutely, it's amazing. We'll talk about it later.
There you go.
But
yes.
It's embracing the, you know, the positivity. You started the show like that and being negative, and how many people are out there who are stuck in that. So all I'm teaching is for people to get their power back and get that positivity and all this, you know, into their lives. And we have enough violence through everything in the media. And I don't want to see violence and to hear violence in the music. So that's why we've been trying to make these special frequencies inbuilt into this song. So the first one is in 5 to 8, which is a love frequency. So it's opening your heart. Mm-hmm. Everything in the nature corresponds to frequency. So this is the frequency who is in harmony with the nature. What we usually do is a 440, which is in disharmony.
Uh-huh.
So there is a story about that, but I'm not going to go into that.
I think
why?
I know it.
Exactly.
I like it.
So that was done so that people can go in war, and because it gives aggression.
Mm.
And we are all listening still in 440. Mm. All the way through. So
but we won't be
crazy.
Tonight.
Not tonight.
Not tonight. And to help you bring out this beautiful message, you've brought Oliver Krauss, who's playing a cello.
Yes.
Very exciting. Welcome.
Lovely to be here.
Lovely to have you. I'm so.
Said the Italian.
No, what accent is? Are you British?
He's British.
Oh, you are. Okay. Well, welcome to America. And when did you come to America?
6 years ago, from London. I was in London for 20 years.
Oh, you as well.
I haven't
welcome.
Been into my country, you know.
Okay.
But I do not have the British accent.
Well, whatever accent you have, it's beautiful. And I've been listening to your music ever since I knew you were going to be on the show. And I love it. And we'll talk about more of it in just a moment. But first, I'm excited to hear the song I haven't gotten to hear yet. So this is Love Now.
Love Now.
Love Now. Here's Maya Fines live on the Life Changes show at Studio City NoHo.
Set City. City, city, a car, city, a car, Maha, a car.
Siri Akal, Maha Akal, Maha Akal, Satnam Akal Murad Wahe Guru, Sat Siri, Siri Akal, Siri Akal, Maha Akal, Maha Akal, Satnam Akal Murad Wahe Guru, Sat Siri, Siri Akal, Siri Akal, Maha Akal, Maha Akal, Sat Nam Akal, Murad Wahe Guru, Sat Siri, Siri Akal, Siri Akal, Maha Akal, Maha Akal, Sat Nam Akal, Murad Wahe Guru, Sat
Maya Fines. Beautiful. One Love Now. Thank you for debuting that on our show. That was very exciting and very beautiful. And thank you, Oliver Krauss. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. And who did the rhythm track that we're listening to?
Danny Koch. His name is. He's a producer. And so we did the first one, and I play with, work out with different producers, with Olli Krauss and then Magnus Fines. And so we kind of, collaborate all together.
It was another community effort.
Yes.
Very
Speaking
nice.
Speaking of collaboration, yes. Michelle Backer, for bringing you in to Life Changes.
Yes, actually. Yes, thank you. Let me just give the website out real quick. Maya-Fines.com. Let me spell that. MayaFiennes.com. And that song will be available soon after...
2nd of May.
Oh, the 2nd of May.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Well, you heard it here, folks, and you won't hear it again until after the 2nd of May. Very exciting. So let me ask you, I heard a piece,
Ong Namo,
okay. And it starts off with the Claude Debussy's...
Yes, I play the Debussy. Yeah.
Right? Are you playing that?
I am playing that.
Wow. Okay, because I thought, wouldn't it be so cool if she's playing it? It's a piano piece. And of course, you are a classical pianist. Wow. So how did...
Well, I wanted to marry all my talents and everything I've done in my life. So I'm a classical pianist and I love Debussy. And then why not bring mantra to it? So that's what I'm doing. So, and mantra are... It's a repetition of Sanskrit sacred words of empowerment. So that's where the positivity and the frequency and the vibration that people hear, it makes them feel better. And you just repeat. And, even for people out there, the masses who don't know anything about yoga, I'm kind of putting little education in their head,
And just add black catsuit.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I was listening to some of the pieces and I remember hearing them in certain yoga classes, or at least the words, but never hearing them how you're doing them. And I thought, wow, now that would be fun to hear it that way.
You bring something that people know, the old, and then bring something new. So then when you marry the two, it's kind
something borrowed and something black.
Exactly. Something white.
Something white. Okay. Very good. Well, before we go, I understand we have another song.
Yeah.
Do we? Okay, great.
That and what's Oliver this? Produced it and wrote it together.
Special. And what's this called?
It's called Ek Onkar. It's a morning prayer.
Ek?
It's very dreamy.
Onka?
This is what you do at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. All right.
You wake up and you bring that positivity.
Okay, very good. I think I would need it at 4 o'clock in the morning if I woke up. Okay, so well, here's...
If you come to one of my retreats, you will.
I will. Oh, okay. All right. I think I'd like that, actually. Mm-hmm. So we'll have
to... We all wear black suits.
Don't know if I could do that. But Seth probably would look really great in it. No, you wouldn't do that? No? No.
Black's not my color.
Black's not your color? Okay. All right. So, well, here's Maya Fiennes and Oliver Krauss singing Ek Ong Ka live here at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you.
Maya Fines. Thank you so much. And thank you, Oliver Krauss on cello. That was
awesome.
Amazing. Yes.
I hope we transported you somewhere.
It did, and it didn't even have to be 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Do you do classes in town?
At the moment, I don't because I travel a lot. Okay. I do retreats all over the world. I just came back from London, from south of France, and so now I'm going on the next one. So.
Nice. Well, people can learn more about you at maya-fines, FINNES.com. Find out where you're next and can find you there,
exactly.
Wherever that is. And then this song, will this also be available after the second?
Right. Well, we are doing a whole album. So there are seven chants and seven songs for this sadhana, which is called the morning prayer, when people wake up and do this. So the purpose of that is to just get together and sing and invite all your fears and insecurities so that you deal with it in that 1 hour, like injection, like a shot. And then you're fine for the whole day.
Oh, okay.
Better than coffee.
Very good.
It's your
then.
Coffee shot takes 1 hour.
Well.
So we are finishing the album, and so we are finishing a few more songs.
And the album's going to be called?
Shift.
Shift.
Yes.
Okay. Find that at maya-fines, FINNES.com. Again, Oliver Krauss, thank you. And Maya Fines, thank you. Thank you,
thank
Seth
you.
Maxwell. What a pleasure to have all of you here today. On behalf of our engineer, Brent Hahn, we want to thank him, first of all, for making us all sound so good. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Leger, and our program manager, Doug Newsom, I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, reminding you that as life changes, as it did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.